A New South Wales parliamentary inquiry into this year's floods has found the SES and Resilience New South Wales failed to lead in the community's greatest time of need. One community still in need is McDonald Valley, whose residents are still reeling from the devastating effects of July's floods. Just a 90-minute drive north of Sydney, roofs lie destroyed, locals use walkie-talkies to communicate, and rubbish piles up on the streets. That's right, this is 90 minutes north of Sydney. We're joined by Hawkesbury Mayor Patrick Connolly this morning. Welcome to the program, Patrick.
Good morning.
The Independent Flood Inquiry recommends abolishing Resilience New South Wales unless serious improvements are made. What was your community's experience? Do you think this agency should be scrapped?
Look, I'm not going to weigh into whether that agency should be scrapped. I guess that's for the New South Wales government. But I can say my experience, and I did give this evidence to that inquiry, was that operationally, there was an excellent response from the SES, from Resilience, from our local police. You know, unfortunately, in the Hawkesbury, we're getting really good at the operation of a flood crisis because we've had so many. So from my perspective, both in March and in July, when we had major flooding, the SES, Resilience and the police force all stepped in and showed great leadership for us here. The far greater challenge is always when the crisis is over and when we move into recovery.
It also recommends the government provide immediate support to your council to remediate riverbank erosion without any further delay. Have you heard from them yet?
Yeah, look, we engaged PWA, which is a New South Wales government agency, a few days after the water went down to help us with some specific spots where we've got major riverbank issues, and that's the spot at Cornwallis Road, which is specifically mentioned in the inquiry's findings. So that work is happening, but I guess the broader work that we need their assistance with is getting rid of the red and green tape for private property owners to re-establish riverbanks that have eroded. It's something that the state government promised they would do after the March 2021 event and just never did. Hawkesbury City Council, as part of our Western Sydney, Parkland City Councils, used our planning partnership to come up with all the reforms for the state government and drafted a package for them, which we provided to the Department of Planning, which would give people a framework of what they could do without permission that we think is sensible, riverbank stabilisation measures and what they would need permission for. We're hoping the state government will sign off on that, and it's still under consideration, but I have to agree with that finding that the state government has not understood the urgency of that issue and has left people in positions where they're lodging development applications and spending thousands of dollars in consultants' reports just to fix riverbanks.
Now on to McDonald Valley. It's one community in your own council area. Talk us through the scale of the damage.
Yeah, look, it was pretty unbelievable, the scale of the damage in the July event. McDonald Valley's been impacted in all of our major floods over the last 2 years, but most severely impacted in this event in July. So we had massive road slips, and still that's the case, that until they're permanently repaired, people are somewhat isolated by road. We've got diversions in, but they're longer and they're at 5-ton road limits, which might not sound like a big deal if you're in Sydney, but these are people who need to bring in everything by road, including water. So at the moment, there's places that we cannot get water trucks to that aren't connected to any town water. So council's working with them to bring in, to make sure that they've got drinking water, to make sure they've got those key supplies. And we're working as far as road, there's lane slips on the roads, but it's a massive challenge and it's a community of people that are in real trouble there.
So what does the recovery phase look like? Why has the community been hit so hard? Is it because of a failure of agencies to get in there?
Look, no, I don't think so. We're talking about major repairs to roads that are rural roads, and that does take time, unfortunately. I don't know if you've seen any of the pictures, but, you're looking at roads that have, half the roads fallen into the river during a flood event. That's not a quick fix, unfortunately. We're currently working on the permanent repairs to Settlers Road, just north of Wiseman's Ferry, which is where the major blockage is. We expect that will be finished within the next 2 months. And we've been, constantly communicating with that community to let them know where we're up to with that. I don't think we could have done that any faster, unfortunately. I think that's just part of the fallout of this natural disaster, but certainly we've been very much aware of what impact that's having on that community.
One resident described the area as like a little Lismore. Is that an apt comparison?
Look, I haven't visited Lismore, so I don't want to offend anyone there, but I think that's probably, it is an apt comparison, because the event that we had in the Hawkesbury was, you know, measuring about a 1 in 20 event at Windsor and North Richmond, but it's much closer to the 1 in 100 event for the McDonald Valley. This was a massive event for them. The damage was far beyond anything they'd have experienced in the previous floods. Looking around after the event, it was hard to recognise the place. There was literally metres of silt and sand in places, you know, up to, you know, there had been, you know, roads before, and the roads 2 or 3 metres underneath the sand that was left after the flood. You know, buildings destroyed, lots of public infrastructure just completely destroyed. It can't be understated how devastating the impact of that flood was for the McDonald Valley.
The council recently organised for bins and bobcats to help remove rubbish and sand for Wise Man's Ferry. Has St Albans now received that same support?
I would have to check exactly what we've done in St Albans. I'm not entirely sure. I know that the ADF were actually on site to clean up a lot of that within a few days of water going down after the July event. And certainly council's been in contact to make sure that we are helping with essential services. I'm not exactly sure what services St Albans is receiving in terms of rubbish removal at the moment.
And phone service issues have long plagued the area. It was exacerbated recently by floods and fires. Why is coverage so poor? And how dangerous is it in these severe weather events?
Yeah, it's incredibly dangerous, and it's something we've continually highlighted to the federal government because, you do have to understand these are very remote places, so it's understandable that coverage is never going to be as good as we would expect here in Sydney. But, you know, in a situation of flood or fire or any other natural disaster, it becomes a life-threatening problem because people are relying on two-way radio and other measures like that to keep in touch, because they do lose all communication because, you know, there's not enough mobile phone towers. And then when power goes out, some of those towers stop working. So it's a major problem and something we've continually highlighted that needs to be urgently addressed by the federal government, because it's people's lives that are in danger.
And just quickly, the Upper House inquiry recommended a senior police officer with combat experience be charged with leading recovery efforts. Do you support that?
Yeah, look, I have no issue with that. I think what is important from our perspective is that whoever is leading the recovery effort has the legislative power to do something. You know, we've seen, you know, some really good people from Resilience New South Wales that, you know, understand the issues, that get out here, spend all their time on the ground and are, you know, leading the effort. But it doesn't seem like they've got, you know, the funding at their fingertips. It doesn't seem like they've got power across government departments. So everything's always negotiated and slow and takes a long time. Whereas I think what really needs to happen is somebody needs to be responsible who has the authority to make emergency type decisions so that we're not always getting lost in bureaucracy every time we need a decision to be made.
Thank you for joining us this morning, Patrick.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.